Hello and welcome to another episode of My Opinion Means Nothing. This week I am joined by Ayo Adid... Oh, I'm so sorry, man.
Adesanya, close. Good try, bro. Not bad. I don't blame you, man.
That's why I asked beforehand. I was looking at it, I was like, ah, nah, I'll ask. And then you told me and I said it once.
Yeah.
And at least I tried. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing really well, man. Thank you for having me on the podcast, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Like, I enjoyed the fact that I hadn't spoken to you for a very long time. And then I was just scrolling through Facebook. And then I saw that post. It was one of you in The Guardian. Yeah. And then I saw your YouTube series that you've been doing. And I was just like, this is the kind of content or the people I want to talk to, so I bring you on board.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome, man. So, yeah, I don't know where to start with this one. Just kick off with the news, because I went down a rabbit hole when I was looking at the news. So, like, I'll kick off with the first one that I found,
yeah.
Which was a crazy article. Actually, I'll read the title before I go to the article. The MPs are to debate an emergency bank holiday if England win the World Cup.
Yes, I am in total agreement with that. Why not?
I mean, like, what does that say to the team that won the World Cup in 1966? Where's their bank holiday?
We're more liberal now. So that's the answer.
I mean, so what? So now, like, so what if England win the World Cup and then they win the Euros? Do we get a bank holiday if they win the Euros as well?
I think the World Cup's slightly more important than Euros.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. So, like, basically, if England were to win the Olympics, we should also get a bank holiday.
It depends. What do you prefer? What's more important? World Cup or the Olympics?
I don't mind. Another extra days off is an extra day off, man. I mean, it seems stupid at first, but I mean, an extra day off. Why not? Like, it'll be Sunday, so that means the bank holiday will be pushed to the Monday because you can't have a bank holiday.
Exactly.
3-day weekend, that'd be brilliant. England win the World Cup, yeah. And then everyone's just like, you just see a news, bank holiday, no one going to work.
Yeah, because at my work, I get only, 25 days? So extra day will be great.
Yeah, I hear that.
Can't complain.
We can't complain at all. So I just thought I'd kick that off with a bit of England because we are in the semi-final. We're playing Croatia tomorrow, yeah.
So who's your money on? Come on, man. I want to go back.
See, I'm going to say England, obviously, but I have a problem.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this at work, like, I think yesterday. But I'll ask you first before I share my opinion on it.
Okay.
How do you... do you want England to win the World Cup?
I definitely want England to win the World Cup,
Okay.
Yeah, it's a young team. They're hungry. No one in that team is really famous. So
yeah,
I want them to win, man.
But my side is I would love them to win the World Cup, but the chaos that it will bring if England win the World Cup, it's going to be crazy on the streets of England. Like, did you even see, like, when England beat Sweden, they...
I know the madness.
They ran up in IKEA.
I know the madness. Hey, you know what, yeah? Bring the riots back, man. I'm on it, man. That was a jokes period as well. Bring it back.
And that was crazy, man. That was crazy. Yeah. Riots for no reasons.
My team was Brazil. Brazil got kicked out. It was Portugal that got kicked out.
I know.
Jesus. I'm Nigerian, obviously. Nigeria got kicked out early. Now I've got no choice but to support England, man. So
It's true.
All the way.
Do you know what? I find, for some reason, it feels like... I've never really been kind of properly interested in the World Cup. But this year, for some reason, I'm really interested in the World Cup, or maybe the football, the games have just been really, really good. But more and more people, even people that I've been speaking to, some people that are not usually into football are into football recently because of the World Cup and the games and the excitement.
Yeah, because, I don't know, this year is just different. It's a young team. And there's nobody famous in that team. No one knows who these kids are.
So really? There's no one?
No, no one knows who these kids are. They're all like... Well, like nobody's, man. Seriously, you look at the names.
I mean, other than Harry Kane, yeah.
Harry Kane is the only big star, so yeah. I think there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? People are really behind them, especially after their performances.
Yeah, I mean, like, I did criticise England at first, but that's only because I believe that England had a really easy group.
Yes, they had the easy side of the league.
Yeah, actually, that's it. Feels like they had easily come up, and not to knock them, but I still feel like
hey, man, a win's a win, bro.
It wins a win. But imagine, yeah, England, Brazil, Portugal, and France all in one group.
You know what? We're so lucky. All the top teams were on the other side of the World Cup.
Exactly.
It's such a madness. The universe is working for us, man.
I mean, it's obviously meant to be. I'm not complaining. England deserve another star on their shirt.
What I don't think is... What's the word I'm looking for? Wimbledon.
Yeah.
It's on at the same time. And I don't think they're very happy about the World Cup being on.
Wimbledon's on at the moment.
Wimbledon's on, bro. You know what I heard? I heard that if England get to the final... They will not show the last game on their screens in
Wimbledon
at all.
Imagine
that. Because it's all about the money, man.
Yeah, it's true. I read an article, that's what I find actually now right now. Audi and Lidl believe in football in England so much that they're closing their stores on the World Cup final.
So they're willing to take a loss?
Yeah.
Wow. That's marketing. That is good marketing. Because they know in return for doing that, people are going to think, oh, Audi Lidl are the greatest. Let's shop there from now on. Good business, man.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. They're both deciding. They're going to both shut their stores. The World Cup final kicks off at 4 p.m. on Sunday. And both German discount store... both German discount stores. I didn't know they were both German. They were both announced on social media that they would be closing at 3 p.m. and their workers could get home to watch the Three Lions on the.
So they're taking a short term loss.
Yeah.
Or a long term gain. Maybe clever marketing.
They get long term gain on their employees and their customers.
Yes, I wonder if Tesco or Asda or Sainsbury's are willing to do the same. I highly doubt it, man.
I doubt it. They're way too big of chains. They're like, that's way too big of a loss.
Yeah.
But maybe because like Lidl and Audi tweeted this on social media, now like this is what we see as our news. Like people will see it and like maybe Tesco's employers might go into work and be like, oh, well, do you hear about Lidl? And then maybe chain of command. And
I don't think they're employees.
I doubt
care.
It will.
I don't think their employees on the ground care.
Yeah, man.
They're worried about their next paycheck, bro.
It's true. Right. What else was there? There was a 16-year-old who killed a shopkeeper because he refused to sell him cigarette papers.
That's the mandem, man. They're crazy.
Papers, bro.
Whoa, yo.
Papers.
These younger generation, on a different level, man. Compared to our day, these guys are not holding back, man. They don't give a damn.
See, I feel like they are on another. They're on another level. Like they're wild. They're scary. But at the same time, I feel like, say, my area where I grew up. Like this, where I live, it feels like it's not as scary to me as it was when I was like in secondary school. Like I used to be afraid to walk home, but now I can walk.
Mm.
And or maybe it's because I'm older and I've changed my perception.
It's because you're not part of that generation anymore. You've grown up you're not really part of that scene. You're not on that social level anymore.
Yeah,
so you don't really feel it anymore, innit? I'm the same. I see a group of kids on the corner and I laugh at them. Like, what? Like, what? I walk past them. I don't even recognize them. Yeah.
Like, maybe it's because of, my mum always used to say, whatever you put out there.
Definitely.
you're always, that you're going to bring back that energy.
Basic law of attraction.
Yeah.
That's basic law of
attraction. So, like, yeah. I don't know, like, in my life, I don't ever think about that kind of lifestyle or anything. I'm just living my own bubble, and that stuff never actually hits my bubble or my life ever.
That's what I'm into, actually. I'm into spirituality and all about the law of attraction. Okay. That stuff is very real.
No, I believe it's real, too. Yeah. Like the thing about everything happens for a reason. Definitely. And stuff like that. Like, I always find that the reasons are never presented to you always at the time of when it's happening, but maybe sometime down the line, you'll think back to that moment, you're like, or something will happen, and you'll be like, oh, so that's why that, and everything connects. Yeah, or you're,
definitely.
I don't know, do you believe in, like, deja vu?
Deja vu, so seeing something happen twice.
Like, yeah, like you've been somewhere in your dream.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yes.
I've experienced, like, beginning of this year, I experienced a lot of deja vu.
Wow.
There was, like, times where I was, when I was younger, and I was really, really sick, and I used to have these weird dreams, and I used to be, like, in places, and I had no idea where I was, but I knew, like, there was one moment where I was, I remember, because they only cleared up the deja vu, I had the deja vu moment when I was in Amsterdam. It was when I was walking, like, I was walking along this road, and it was this narrow path across a bridge, and a car drove past me.
We're back.
It messes up the recording, otherwise I would.
We're back.
Yeah, so obviously I was in Dam, and, like, the car drove past me, and I remember specifically in my dream, I was on a bridge, walking across this bridge, really? And a car drove past me. I had no idea where I was, and I, like, it happened in my dream, and then I, when I got to that moment, I just felt this, oh wait,
I've been here before.
Well,
what's going on?
It's really weird when it happens to me, but it's just like I have. And then there's even times when there was a moment when while I was filming for Cannabis Is Illegal, and I was sat by the window, and I think I might have been smoking or something, and I breathed some smoke out while I was sat on the window at a certain point. And I don't actually remember being there, but I had a deja vu moment. I was like, I've been here in this moment before, and I actually do remember the moment. I remember someone was talking to me, but I didn't know who the person was at the time, and I was just like, this is weird. But then when I got there, I was like, I've been here before. And it's, I don't know, it's weirdly...
Maybe the universe is telling you something.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know how to work it out.
I don't know how to work it out, but it's... I like it because it's... For me, I see it as kind of... points to me that... Because I had all these weird dreams when I was younger.
Yeah.
And now these are happening to me as I'm older. It kind of is like a... Like I'm heading still in the right direction type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I like to see. Interesting. But, yeah, I think I find it all interesting, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, I totally believe everything does happen for a reason. And I actually believe I'm only here in this plane to learn and observe. Then I'm going to transcend into another plane. I know it's a bit crazy, but...
No. It's
and because of that, I live a stress-free life, bro.
What is... Stress-free. Is it kind of...
It's like reincarnation.
Is it, like, kind of a Buddhist
thing? It's actually hermetic.
Okay, what is...
So the Hermetic Seven Principles, basically, it's called, another name for it is natural law. So the universe operates according to Hermetic principles on seven natural laws, and the universe operates within that, and you can't go out of that.
So what are the seven natural
laws? Okay, you want me to tell it?
Yeah, because...
I can remember.
not to put you on the spot, but it sounds really interesting.
This is a test. So the first natural law... It's the universe is mental. The universe is mental. So everything in front of us was once a thought, was once an idea. Someone, somewhere had to think of it for it to manifest in physical reality.
If I cut you off and cut in with a thought, I'm not going to throw you off. Okay, cool. So it's like kind of, for example, like there was, do you know that film Life of Pets?
Life of Pets.
You might not have seen it, but Kevin Hart was like in it, and he was a dog and stuff like that. So the year before that came out, or maybe me and my friends where literally we were talking about that kind of concept idea for a film where we... I don't want to give out the idea because it's dope. But we were talking about something to do with animals talking and stuff like that. A year later, then the film Life of Pets, and I saw the trailer, I was like...
And you thought,
what?
That's my idea.
That's my idea, yes. Exactly.
Because what you did is your thought is energy. And everything's energy. So what you did, you put it out into the universe, and the universe somehow created that movie. Somehow. Maybe it was collective, because you and your friends were there as well, so your collective thought energy.
Maybe it was like, I was thinking about it, someone else is also thinking about it, and someone other people also thinking about it, so like, it's just kind of, it's all just, it's, I guess it's who's done it first type of thing.
Yes. And it's quite interesting, because it's like all of the wisdom, knowledge that has ever been here and will ever be here is already here right now. We are just not aware of it. So the knowledge to build an aeroplane has always been here in some type of form. And in the 1930s, the Wright brothers got the awareness to actually grab the idea, the thoughts and the plan to make the aeroplane. But the knowledge has always been here since the beginning of time. So everything starts in the mind.
You mean like how Leonardo da Vinci created the flying machine, but it's just because he never technically had the technology,
the awareness to build a technology.
Well, the human beings at the time never had the awareness to create the technology that he needed to make the flying machine possible.
Yes.
So now we basically just use his blueprints and just use our awareness of technology to create what he wanted to be made.
Yeah.
So I see what you mean by everything is already here, because if everything wasn't already here, he wouldn't have been able to
Everything starts from the thought, the mental. The next one is the law of correspondence.
Okay.
So whatever you feel within is reflected outside. If you feel like you're a stressful person, you're going to see stress in the physical realm. Okay. In reality, you're going to feel stress. You're going to get stressed back.
Okay.
If you're an unconfident person inside, you're going to be unconfident towards other people. People will see your unconfidence. If you're happy, you're going to feel happy. People are going to see you happy. So whatever's reflected inside is reflected towards you back outside.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. The next one is vibration.
Do you mean, like, is that kind of similar to the last point?
So it's similar. It's basically whatever frequency you're vibrating at, it's going to attract what's on that frequency.
Huh.
So if you're very depressed, you're on a low frequency, you're going to attract depressing stuff towards you. Depressive thoughts, depressive habits, behaviours.
Question.
Go on.
I know sometimes, just me in a position, like, weird things and crazy things happen to me.
Yeah.
I just think positive thoughts. Sometimes I guess there may be weird and crazy thoughts in there. Is that the reason why these weird and crazy things are happening to me?
The law of attraction works on the positive, the negative, the neutral. There's no exception, man.
Okay.
It's interesting. It's so sick, man. I would definitely advise you to look into Bob Proctor. He's an expert on it.
Bob Proctor. This name sounds really familiar.
Yeah, he's everywhere, man. Bob Proctor. Like, he will teach you how to use the law of attraction for your benefit.
Okay.
That's how I've used that for my stammering to improve my speech.
Okay. Well, we'll get onto that a bit more later.
So the next one's polarity.
Polarity, what does that mean? I've used the word
so before. There's always two sides to every coin.
Okay.
Always. It's always another side to the same story.
Yeah.
So hot, cold, two sides. Up, down.
Could that also be, I'm just thinking now on this on a sci-fi level, could that be alternate universes?
Yes. Come on, bro. There's multiverses, bro.
There's 100% multiverses. 100%.
There's a million U's and a million me's, bro.
There's no way there's just one of me.
rhythm, law of rhythm. There's always going to be a season. Winter, summer, autumn. Bad season, good season, harvest.
Okay, I get what you mean.
And good season. Desert, good season, yeah.
Good season is like what we're living right now.
That's part of it. Yeah, 100%. And the final one is gender. It's always a masculine energy and a feminine energy within all of us.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, that's really quite interesting.
I'm not an expert, bro. So
no, of course, but it's like kind of a, I don't want to call it a Bible, but I heard a great acronym for Bible, which is Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Basic instructions. I'm not sure if it's basic. It sounds a bit complicated to me.
It is, yeah.
It's very complicated, bro. I've read it, man. It's peak.
I mean, yeah. I mean, in a sense, that's what the Bible is, basically.
Instructions to live your life, yeah. Or to control your life. Yeah. Depends on your perspective.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the way how I feel about the Bible is, like, it's like a text that's kind of... It was written hundreds of millions of years ago based on the time that and the laws of what was happening at that time. And nothing has changed from this text. And now we're living hundreds of millions of years in the future and we're still following the words of the and the laws of hundreds of millions of years ago. And to me, it feels like it needs to be updated, but it can't be updated because these are the words of the Lord.
And if he was all powerful, all wise, he should have had the foresight.
Yeah.
To know the world will change.
Yeah.
Hey, man, no comment.
I have no comment, but I mean,
get people's nerves.
Hey, that's all I'm gonna say about it. But the reason why I say that is because. There's this really interesting comedy that's just... I've just been recently been watching. I don't know. It's in America, I assume.
Yeah.
It's called Living Biblically.
Okay. Oh, I thought I heard this already. I saw jokes already.
So it's about this writer who, like, every year he does, like, 100% on something and he does, like, a deep cleanse or something like that. But this year he decides that... because his best friend's just passed away, he's kind of looking for something to kind of guide him or help him. So he goes down to the bookstore and he asks his local bookstore lady, like, you must know of some books that can help me. And she just so happens to be the next book that she hands, happens to be pulling over the counter is the Bible. And she hands it to him and he's like, the Bible? I don't want that. She's like, well, if you don't want it, take it back. Put it on the shelf. So he goes to the shelf to go and put it on the shelf. And then as he's walking towards the shelf, there happens to be this light. And he walks underneath the light, this bright light. And he's like, no, I'm not going to put it back. It's a sign.
Yeah, all coincidence, but yeah.
So he goes full in on this. And it also so happens that his wife's going to be... just found out that she's going to be pregnant as well. So he decides to use this as his cleanse.
He's putting the dots together.
So he decides for the 9 months that his wife is pregnant, he's going to live 100% to the word of the Bible, to the letter.
How's that possible?
That's what his priest says. His priest actually laughs at him when he says he's going to do
it. What version? Old Testament or New Testament?
He's a Catholic, so... I'm not sure.
I'm not sure because if he wants to live by the Old Testament, boy,
I think he
can't live.
No. But he's like literally he's going through it verse by verse and kind of weighing up his morals so he becomes a better person. So
I tell you why also as well, it's almost impossible to live by the Old Testament because in Leviticus there's one verse which says you cannot wear two types of cotton on your same body because it's unclean. Two types of cotton.
Yeah, I know.
And there's loads of other stuff, simple stuff like that.
I'm not going to
people are not aware of, man.
See, that's what I mean. I'm not going to give it away, but I recommend anyone at home that's listening watch Living Biblically because it's funny, but then it also touches on real things that obviously that go on in the Bible and the actual verses. So he actually touches on the whole thing about the cotton.
Yeah.
Because he walks into the church and he talks to the priest and he's like, well, if you want to do that, you're going to have to, you can't, Leviticus says da 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 da. And he's like, oh. Then the next day he comes into work. He's wearing all white. And he's like 100. And next time he sees his priest's like, well, you didn't have to wear all white. I just mean like, you could have just wear like 100% cotton.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. But yeah, it's a really, really funny show.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it. It sounds hilarious.
But yeah, we went off with a tangent, but we can go back onto the news quickly. What else is there? I guess this is the one that's trending. I'll do those ones and then move on. So this one that was trending was about a 13-year-old boy who has been expelled or suspended. I can't remember which one it is. So
I think it's the same thing. Expelled, suspended means for excluded. Time.
Yeah, he was excluded for refusing to wear his blazer at school mm-hmm. in this heat, basically.
For how long?
Look
at the picture. This guy's a joker. look at that bad man look as well. He's like, yeah, man, bad. I got my blazer. He's a sick man.
But it's part of the policy that he has to wear his blazer. But
in the heat, come on, man. Mm-hmm. It's 2018. Where's the liberalism gone?
It doesn't say. Wait, let me look. No, there's no number of how long he's been.
Definitely conservatives, man.
But
the school governors are definitely conservatives.
What's this school? King Edward's the Sixth Sheldon Health Academy. Oh my gosh, yeah. What a name.
It sounds like a posh school. He's uniform, but he doesn't look posh. But
these are do you know academies? Yeah. Do you know like Wolfstow Academy?
They built one in Selwyn, man.
Oh yeah, so Academy is just when I can't remember what it was, but it's like,
is that when the parents have full control?
Something like that.
I don't know. It's basically not owned by the council
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
And the governors take control.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it's. What's your opinion on academies?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, like, the school governors would know if this is what an academy is. Don't quote our opinions.
That's why it's named that.
Yeah. But like, yeah, if. A governor's run school, I think that's probably better than something that's run by the council or something like that, because the governors would be, I guess, parents and teachers, right?
Yeah.
So the teachers would know what would be good for the school and the parents would know what would be good for their children.
Exactly.
So I guess that would work perfectly hand in hand in an ideal world.
Yeah. In an ideal world.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a... unusual story though.
Yeah.
Suspended. Detention first, at least.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But
suspended, man.
Yeah, it was excluded.
Say this boy was disabled or had a disability.
Yeah.
Would they have suspended him? I highly doubt it.
Probably not. They probably wouldn't.
I'm not sure about that story at all.
I hope that it is. Okay, cool. No, I just realised that my Bluetooth headphones were still on.
Oh, really? I was just thinking,
yeah. I was like, imagine it didn't record all this time through my phone.
But is it definitely recording?
Well, I'm sure we'll find out.
That was recording, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
I think they tried to make an example of him, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But, I mean, I guess if the policy says so and everyone else in school was wearing their blazer.
In that 33 degree heat.
But in 33 degrees and he's wearing a black blazer.
Exactly, and black, a black heat to heating.
Yeah, it's like an insulator, so that's mad. Imagine being in...
Fight the power, bro.
Being in a school, that'd be all warm.
Leave it, man.
Nah, I hear that. And then the last story I'm going to talk about is like a mystery tattooed man in a coma... has collapsed without ID in North London.
A mystery tattooed man in a coma?
Yeah.
Has collapsed. Oh, so no one knows who he is?
No one knows who he is, no. He just collapsed in Finchley on Friday, last week, Friday just gone. He had no ID on him, but he's just covered in tattoos and no one knows who he is.
So no one's identified him?
No one's identified him, no.
Wow. That is unusual, bro.
Since Friday the 6th.
Has this been on the news or anything?
I mean, I found it in Metro, but I don't know if it was on
the news. I think someone will eventually claim him. Someone will eventually claim him, man. He's got so many tattoos. He's part of a crew. He's part of a crew.
Someone knows him.
Did you hear about the 15-year-old? He took a blue pill called Dopal and died in hospital.
No, I didn't.
15 years old, man. I read it in a Metro, actually. No, on Facebook. News story. that's the only way I get my news on Facebook.
I read the best fucking advert, yeah, on oh, where was it? It was, I think I was on the Underground. And it was like one of those adverts when it said, it was a Facebook advert, and Facebook said, we are now going to make sure that we own, it said, like, they're anti-fake news now, and they're going to make sure that they now only go and get their news from reputable sources.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was sat there reading the article, the advert, like,
Daily Mail.
But guys, you should have been doing that from the beginning. Yeah. Like, yeah. What do you mean you're now going to make sure?
The news is, at the end of the day, the news is entertainment, man.
It is.
And bad news sells.
I think that a lot of the time, and what I have found a lot of the time, they have titles which are for clickbait. They'll do this crazy title, and you'll just be like, whoa, no, really? You'll click on it, and you'll read the article, and you're like, what?
The Sun is the best at that.
Yeah, it wasn't even that crazy.
Yeah. But they've got your click, paid click.
Stunt. And they've got that money. Yeah. That's all they need.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, I guess we can move on to the second half of this show this week and ask you a few questions about you and your story, man, because I find it really interesting. Yeah, or I want to find out a bit more about it. So, like, I was reading through your website, the RTSA.com, and I was going on your about page and I saw that you're a public speaker and a life coach.
I do some work with the mind with some people. You have stammers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you say public speaking, is it only public speaking for people with stammers or just anything that you can do public speaking with?
So basically, I do public speaking, part of a speakers club.
Okay.
It's called Toastmasters, King Speakers, next to Lancaster Gate. I actually, most of my time, I do public speaking at Hyde Park when it's warm.
Okay.
I take a bunch of us and we go there. We actually try to debate with all the religious people. Because you know Hyde Park is famous for that.
Yeah, I see.
And they really go at it.
Yeah.
So we try to compete with them. And I'm trying to get into schools now also. Talk about stammering and stammering awareness.
So let's start from the beginning. Have you always had a stammer?
Yes.
Do you know what? That's actually crazy. Because in the whole time, like, when I knew you, all the times, all the conversations I had with you, I wouldn't have thought that you had a stammer.
Yeah, I was what you would call a covert stammerer.
And what does that mean?
So you've got two types of stammerers, overt and covert. Okay. Overt people are just like people who just can't hide their stammers.
Okay.
And covert people like me, if I couldn't say stammer, I might say stutter. Because in that moment, I couldn't say stutter. You get it? So coverts are just better at hiding their stammers.
So you would kind of find
substitution.
Yeah. So I guess in a way, I want to say, are you covertly hiding your stutter, or are you kind of finding a way to cope with it at that time?
Oh, at that time, I was hiding it.
Okay.
Because if I didn't hide it, I would become an overt.
Okay.
I would be out of control, repetitions.
Okay.
And on the phone, I could not hide it. I never used the phone until about a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
I never used the phone.
Oh, wow.
I would avoid it at all costs, bro. Because the way I would stammer, it would hurt me, bro. it would hurt me and the listener listening, bro.
Oh, wow. I was going to say that I was talking to my friend earlier and he was saying that when he was growing up, he had a friend that while he was growing up, he had a stammer, but his friend was never told that he had a stammer. So when he was talking, in his mind, when he was speaking, it felt like he was speaking normally.
Wow, that's brilliant.
That's what I mean.
That's unreal. But I want to know him, bro. How did he do it?
But that's what my friend was saying. He said, to him, it felt like he was talking normally, but out loud, he was actually had a speech impediment. And it was just, I was just like,
I've got a friend called Rama Soman, yeah? He's my mentor. And he was exactly the same, bro. He said he never gave a damn about his stammer. He didn't even knew he had a stammer until people started saying, bro, you need to sort your speech out, bro. I can't understand you.
And this is what I mean. That's what my friend was saying. It's only if people tell you about it that you would be aware of it. Because if you were just speaking, you would just see that to be normal until someone mentions that, hang on, why are you speaking like that? And it was, I found it kind of interesting. I watched, I don't know if it's the latest video on your YouTube
channel. Running back here.
And Eugene, I think it was the guy in the red. I watched, and that was actually a really interesting kind of stop and kind of ask public a question, because at first the public generally thought it was a joke, and that was the best. They generally thought it was a joke, and if he didn't say that, he was putting it on for the effect that perfectly makes sense for that moment, but. Yeah. They generally thought it was a joke. They thought they were being stitched up, all the cameras and everything. They thought that. And then as he got into his question, they were like, wait, hang on. I know he's stammering, but I don't want to be rude and say anything about it. So I'll just let him get out whatever he wants to say. And when there was times when they didn't understand what he was saying, they were quite polite or quite.
Yes.
And they said, I didn't understand what you said. Can you repeat that? Yeah. And he just repeated it. And it was like, it was just a normal conversation. Yeah. It was fine. This is
self-consciousness of ourselves, stubborn, is what makes it a billion times worse.
Yeah, that's what I can imagine.
It's the judgment. We feel like we're getting judged every time we speak, and that exaggerates the actual stuttering, physical stuttering.
Yeah.
So when we desensitize ourselves, that's what we're doing. Making all those videos is us. We're not doing it for the public. We're being very selfish. And we're doing it for ourselves. We're showing our subconscious minds we can actually speak and we can be ourselves, express ourselves, and not give a damn what people think about us.
Yeah.
When we do that, a lot of times, our stammering steadily decreases. It's like reverse psychology.
Yeah, kind of. You do what you fear the most. Yeah, yeah. Comfortability.
You're scared of speaking, you speak, man. You're scared of spiders, you hold spiders. Scared of mountains, you climb mountains.
I'm not cool with that. Yeah. If I'm scared of spiders, stay away from spiders.
Man, you're gonna hold that spider man and crush it even.
I mean the only one that I'm okay with is I'm afraid of heights, but I don't mind conquering. I don't mind being up high.
Same. I'm exactly the same.
I'm hella afraid of heights.
Yeah. I'm scared of heights too, bro. I hate roller coasters, I can't survive.
So, I don't know, like, so you went from being a covert stammerer.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, what kind of made you decide that you didn't want to be a covert stammerer anymore?
Man, this is deep, bro. It was December 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting in front of my computer. And I decided I was going to kill myself.
Oh, wow.
Literally. And
sorry to cut you off, but was it because of your stammer?
I couldn't live the life I've always imagined for myself because I felt my communication held me back, man.
Okay.
When you can't say your name on cue, do you know what that does to you?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, all right, mate, what's your name? Or nothing will come out and people would be like, have you forgotten your name? Are you okay? Give you a weird look. And when they give you that look, it crushes you even more, so you stammer more.
Yeah.
So it was just a madness. So when I was going for job interviews, couldn't perform, didn't get the job. I was in a dead-end job doing security. I did banking, finance and management at Loughborough.
Yeah.
I couldn't pursue that career because I couldn't speak on cue. So I thought, you know what? I'd rather be dead than live a mediocre life. I know that sounds selfish because I still had a job.
Yeah.
I still had some money. I was living okay, but
You didn't feel like you had another option.
Yes, I can't see myself living a mediocre life, man. I can't settle. I'd rather not be here. That was my mindset at the time. That sounds really bad. I should be more grateful just to be alive, but
no, but at the same time, like,
that's not my personality, man.
Yeah, like, you know what you want, and if you can't get that, I don't have a stammer, but I have like a type of thing where I don't know, sometimes I go off tangent and I'll speak off somewhere else, and or my mind is already somewhere else and I'm still on this conversation. Yeah. So but then because my mind's already there, I might switch over there, but then I'll be like, rah, nah, you can't switch.
Yeah, you gotta stay here.
Yeah. So like I get that, but I don't know. Like because I'm more positive thinking, I couldn't imagine being that low, but I have been that low and had those similar thoughts. So I can kind of see it from that point of view, but what took you out of that funk?
Yeah, so I was definitely gonna do it. So I took 4 paracetamol pills. I had 16.
Oh, wow.
And then something out of nowhere just said, you know what? You don't really want to do this, bro. And I did a Google search. One more last time. I searched stomach cure 2018. This was, mind you, 2016. So I projected 2 years into the future. So I checked 2017. Nothing came up. So cut long story short, I eventually found this program. This 3-day intensive course program. Not going to mention the name. Tell you why later on. So I joined this program. I had to wait 6 months to wait till I can get on. So I was like, I was in a better spirit. I thought, yes, I found something. My last chance. But if it didn't work,
yeah,
I'm not sure, boy, if I'll be here. I'm really honest. I'm not sure. So I joined this program. It fundamentally changed my life. It did at that time. It taught me several techniques on how to control my stomach physically. I'll demonstrate. So one of the techniques is called block release, which is what I'm doing now. So every time I throw a block, instead of I would be like,
so you kind of take a breath into it.
You just let it go. You don't fight. You don't fight your stomach. Yeah. You want to stand up? Stop. Take a breath. Block. The other one was hit and hold. So you hold the first sound. So you feel the block. You ride the first sound into the word. You slide. So block. And then you got deep tone. So when we speak from the chest, less likely to stammer. So they're speaking in our vocal cords, speak from the chest.
Okay.
And we had this thing called costal breathing, where we deep breathe every time we speak. And that, and those 4 techniques is not enough. You need the mentality, which I took to another level, and I've renamed it the advertised mentality, where we stammer before we stammer, so we don't stammer. So instead of trying to hide our stammers, we advertise our stammers through using the 4 techniques I've mentioned. Block, release, and hold, blah, blah, blah. And that's what we do in our videos. We deliberately stammer on purpose. And when we do that, we stammer a lot less.
Is something like Tourette's, is that a form of stammering or
stuttering? Well, I've got a mate, an old guy, who thinks he could tackle people with Tourette's in the same manner that we tackle our stammering.
Yeah.
By doing the tics on purpose. I can't really comment on that. You need to speak to Simon.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But I'm a bit mad.
But I don't know, because what you're saying, it kind of, I guess, it's
OCD.
It's kind of like, I want to say like muscle memory type thing. Like you're training yourself to not make it be a problem, because
we are trying to influence the subconscious mind, our egos, our brainstem, the most primal part of our brain. We're trying to teach you to not be afraid of stammering.
Yeah.
So we're gonna stammer. So you learn to not be afraid of stammering. So you think it's normal. So you won't put pressure on me to stammer.
Yeah.
Because I'm already stammering in my own control. Yeah. So I won't stammer. You get it?
Yeah.
It's mad, bro.
Like, generally, in this conversation, you very rarely stammer. It's only every now and then that I've actually noticed it.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm not actually using enough technique. If I use full technique, I wouldn't stammer. Probably.
Yeah.
But I don't give a shit right now. Anyway. I'm allowed to swear. Sorry,
bro. Yeah, swear all you want, man.
Yeah, so I joined that program. I became a coach after 6 months. And then something happened. I was doing YouTube. I was doing my own stuff outside that program. They didn't really like it. So I left. I left. Then people left with me. And now we're doing a madness, bro. trying to really help people with stammer and doing it the right way.
No, no, it's interesting that you say that you're doing the whole YouTube channel like selfishly, but although you guys are doing it selfishly by putting it out there, you're kind of you want people to be involved in your journey. Yeah. So anyone who possibly could be in the same situation will watch that and they'll feel helped by it.
Yeah, that's the point. I was being candid. Yeah, it's selfish, but we really want to show people that just because you have a stammer, it's not the end of the world. And I have a covert stammer, but the people who had overt stammers, literally every word, couldn't say nothing. And now they can speak as good as me, some even better than me.
That's cool.
By just doing what we're doing, putting ourselves out there. And fluent speakers like yourself could benefit from doing it as well.
And I can imagine.
Just by putting yourself out there, social anxiety is a madness, man. It plagues everyone.
No, I have, terribly. But I don't know, I just try to, I like to just go over the top and do it. I like love networking and talking to people, so I just use that.
That's the cure to everything. Meeting people, speaking, man. Happiness is when you're with other human beings.
Yeah.
Not on WhatsApp, man.
Oh, I know.
Face to face, man.
It's like, for example, I don't know if you heard about it today, the RAF, it was the RAF, something
100 years. I saw a plane fly over my workplace today.
Whereabouts do you work?
It was Clapham Junction today.
Oh, okay. I work around King's Cross, so around Russell Square.
Yeah.
I could see like all the planes flying past, but this is the weird thing. I came out of lunch, like going to like the Sainsbury's to go and get my Lucozade, like I usually do.
No,
just the Lucozade, because I already had lunch in the fridge. So I was like, went down, and then like there was just these clusters of people just looking in the sky. And I'm just like, why are these people looking in the sky? So I walked to Sainsbury's, come out of Sainsbury's, and I'm looking in the sky as well, and I'm like, what are they looking at? Like, there was a helicopter up there, and I was like, what's going on? So like I walked across the road, but then as I came down the stairs, there was like a part where you can cross the road straight away.
Yeah.
And as I was going to walk like down the other way to go to my workplace, and I was like, no, I'm just going to walk across the road because there's another cluster of people looking up into the sky. Let me see if I can see something different from this angle. So I get across the road, I'm looking up in the sky, and I'm like, what are you guys looking at? And then tutus, this guy comes over and he's like, what are you guys looking at? And I was like, bro, to tell the truth, no idea. And he was like, all right, cool. And then there was this lady in front of us explaining the whole thing. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's nice. And then I was going to take my phone out to film it. And I was like, but no, I don't care enough for this. Mm. I just wanted to know why they were looking in the sky.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what else have I, you said you were doing a documentary?
Yeah, so I've actually interviewed several people. I'm part of the British Stammering Association as well.
Okay.
I'm actually going to the conference in Cardiff in September.
Okay, cool. Plug.
Yeah. So I've interviewed CEOs who stammer. I haven't put it out, man. I did these interviews months ago, bro. But I'm waiting for the right marketing time to,
because
I'm working on a massive project with a couple partners. So when that project's in motion, I'm going to release the good material, and it's going to be so good.
Well, whenever you're releasing come on the podcast, we'll talk more about it. I promote it all the time, all day, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what is the interview documentary? What is it to do with your journey? Is it to do with your YouTube channel?
Basically, it's a documentary for people with stammer, showing them how they can take control of their lives and how other people have done so. So the format is we interview fluent people and get their perspective on people with stammer. What they think stammering is and how they think it affects us who actually stammer. Then the second part is interviewing people who actually stammer and taking the best bits from the interview, explaining their journey, how much they've suffered or not suffered. Some people stammer and they've lived a perfectly fine life. Very few, but it does happen. And the final part It's understanding how the people who had it bad have overcome the best hammer and lived the life they're living now.
Okay.
Explaining all the techniques specifically and all the things they did. So hopefully people watching that who stammer at home can watch it and gain information and start their journey.
So this documentary, is it, the way how I see it, is kind of like, is it one long movie or is it broken into parts?
It's different. It's like interviews.
Okay.
Or cut up.
Because the way how I can see it all put together in my head and is like an actual, like a movie documentary, like the type of thing you would see on like Netflix or something like that.
Yeah.
And instead of just posting it online, how I would say to market it or advertise it is have a premiere for it.
Hmm.
And because then if you have this long movie, you can sit down and take people on a journey.
Yeah.
And then it's, I don't know, it feels like it'll be, not that it won't be as hard hitting the way you have it with different interviews, but yeah. I just put it all together and it just make it like a, I don't know, like a, it's a big, more of a big point on yeah. it. Because this is, it's something that's not really spoken about enough or yeah. in any circle, to do, to be honest. And it's kind of like, people who have Tourette's, it's kind of, they have Tourette's and it's kind of, okay, they have it and they might throw out random words, but it feel, to me, it feels like it's more accepted than kind of someone with a stutter or yes. a stammer. And people with Tourette's, they can more joke about these things yes. that they're saying, or other people might joke with them and yes. they laugh along and it kind of makes it easier for them. But yes. if you have a stutter, there's no one really that's, if someone's laughing at you, they're laughing at you. Laughing at you. You know what I mean? There's no like, we can laugh together about this, like no. you're laughing at me. So it's like, once you start laughing at me, it's just like, well, why are you laughing? This is
yeah.
Aren't I doing something normal?
The problem is, you start stuttering, it's like, it's so for some of us, for a lot of us, it's inconsistent. Sometimes we could be fluent for like 5 minutes. All of a sudden, we get a mental block. Mental block means we have a word in our head, but we physically can't get it out. Somewhere between the mental and the mouth is a blockage. So then we're speaking fluently, then we start, or nothing comes out. The listener ain't got a clue what's going on, and that's when he just gets mad.
Yeah.
So, but Tourette's is just, it's always there. Like, you can't hide it, it's there. Yeah. But stammering, you can hide it, get away with it, sneak around. And when you sneak around, it makes it worse.
Unless you're doing it like the techniques.
That yes, you do it on purpose. So you're yeah. always stammering. So you never get that judgment because you're always stammering.
So then, like you were saying, subconsciously, it'll just become an everyday it. Thing. So then you'll just be like, you're talking normally and you're just like, whoa, hang on. That's
you got it. That's our method. And that's what we're trying to teach. And the stuttering community, man, I tell you the truth, bro, is messed up. The stuttering community is only 1% of the population.
Oh, wow.
But in that 1%, people are arguing over different things. The best way to do this, the best way to do that. It's not united, the stuttering community. It's all messed up. So we're trying to really show people, not talk about it, literally show people how it's done.
So would you say there's a specific way that people have to, or they would learn how to put their stammer under control, like say fundamentals that they need to have in place, that would specifically help elevate them? And then beyond these fundamentals, any other tips and tricks that that person has personally will help them progress even further?
Definitely yoga, mindfulness, meditation. They're all the extra add-ons which will make you improve it, make you better, but improve your speech. But the fundamentals are the most important thing is a positive attitude. You see what I'm doing here? I'm doing cancellation.
Oh, okay.
So when I block, I don't just carry on. I block, release it, then I say the word again how I want to say it. And that trains my subconscious mind to get used to being fluent.
I kind of do the same thing. Say, for example, if I say a word, then I might not say it correctly, then I'll say it again. So is it the kind of that same kind that is, of yes. principle?
And what it is disclosure. So you've been honest. You're honest with yourself. onto the listener, like, you're not happy with how you sound, so you say it again, rather than just carrying on sneaking about.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So if you're doing that as a fluent speaker, wow. But as a stammerer, we have to do that. If we don't, we start stammering because we're always trying to hide it.
No, because I find that I'll say a word wrong, and if I don't correct myself in that moment, then I'll end up saying the word wrong again.
Yes, you got it, bro. That's the whole point, bro. That's the point, bro. This is what I'm for stammering, it's 10 times more important. Yeah, that's
no, I and can
it's
imagine called, how it, mad that must
see,
be.
See, and that's called cancellation. Oh. So I make sure I cancel all the time. But yeah, cancellation is one of the fundamental techniques. Don't let yourself get away with poor language or poor pronunciation, enunciation. Or else, long term, you're going to start blocking, stammering all over the place.
Do you find speaking, I guess, I want to say it. When I say the Queen's English, I just mean normal English, and other than speaking slang, do you speak more slang or do you speak more?
Listen, I've only just learned to pronounce words. Bro, you don't understand. No one, you know what, I find it amazing because it shows how people you stammer, how they think, and what they think is not actually true. I thought I was messed up. But when I talk to people about how I was in school and college, they're like, "Hey, you was fine."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Bro, I wasn't fine.
I had no idea, man."
That's like, you were talking normally. It's like,
no idea.
That's the what?
Literally, no bro, idea.
I wasn't talking normally. I was effed, bro.
No idea. I had no idea.
Cause I didn't talk much, man. You know, with me, I could talk sometimes. And when I could talk, I took advantage. Because, yes, I feel like I can talk. So I got it out. But when I couldn't talk, I didn't talk. Okay. So I was very sneaky.
But then people would just see that as, he's a good listener.
Yeah, or he's quiet.
He's quiet.
You know what
happened
to me? School, college, I wasn't so bad. I got away with it. Everyone knew I stammered. But I was fine in their eyes. But when I got to university, bro, it was over for me, man. The first day I got there, someone asked me for my name.
Yes, man.
I was bro.
That's it.
My eyes were rolling back, bro. I'm gonna say my name. You know what? Yeah, I'm laughing at myself. You can laugh as well because I find it funny, bro.
No, yeah.
You gotta make light of it. People take their stammers too seriously. They're the ones who suffer the most. You gotta laugh at yourself. It's funny, bro. Sometimes it's funny, bro. If I'm blocking. Sometimes I'm blocking physically in a moment, and in my head I'm laughing at myself, thinking, "Why the hell am I stammering? This is a madness, bro!" I swear that. But when I do that more often, I get over it, and I don't take it too seriously, and then I get out of it.
Yeah.
At uni, I couldn't survive, man. Lectures, tutorials. I would avoid all the tutorials because it's small classes. They ask you questions.
Yeah.
What's this? Nah. And I got a 2-2 because of it.
Yeah.
I got a 2-2. It messed me up, bro.
But then, I guess, do you feel like if you had, I guess, accepted that you had a stammer back in, say, secondary school and seek the help, then would you probably, but would you have been better off, do you think? Or do you think this going through it this way around was better for your journey?
To be honest, there's no help. The NHS, most of the time, their speech therapists are not specialised in stuttering. Speech, language therapy is not just stuttering. It's a whole bunch of things, everything else. Stuttering is only a tiny part. So the help I got at school was a dismal. I didn't get no help.
Wow.
And there's nothing available. So, and the people who accept their stammer, they accept it as stammer. But then they use that as like an excuse to not try, to not do nothing, to just be like, I have a stammer, so I'm fucked. That's about it. So there's no proactiveness. But now there are tools available to help manage our stammers, the ones I explained.
Yeah.
And for the tools to work, you need the proactive mentality of going out there. Now I physically have something to control it, to manage it with. now I can do something about it. But for some people with stammer, they're not aware of this type of help. So they're at home being miserable or isolated. So that's why we're on YouTube trying to spread awareness that these are these tools.
Yeah.
Watch us, get in contact.
It's funny you should say that because, like, when I was going through school, I always knew that I was learning in a different way to everyone else. And my mum said to me, maybe you're dyslexic. And throughout school, I'd had no idea. It was only when I got to university and I wrote an essay, and my tutor brought me into the class, and we were into her office, we were reading the essay together. She's like, are you dyslexic? And I was like, I'm not sure. She was like, go down to the library, go and get yourself tested out. And because I was in university, the university helped pay towards half of the fee for a dyslexia exam. But a dyslexia exam costs, I think, £300-£400.
Hmm?
Yeah. So if it wasn't for the fact that my university paid pretty much 90% of it, all I paid is pretty much £100. If it wasn't for the fact that a university paid 90% of my dyslexia exam, I would never have been diagnosed. I would never have got the help and what? Anything that I got in uni, because because I was doing a music module, I got given a brand new Mac. I have problems with, like, when I write something, I will write it and I'll write it as if I'll miss words out, but then when I read it back, I'll read it as if the word is there.
Oh my God, I've got the same problem, bro.
So,
I'm not joking. You know what?
You could be dyslexic, man.
You know what, Ian? If I, on WhatsApp as well, any bigger type, people are like, hey, yo, bro, if you missed out this word, I'm like, wait, oh yeah.
Yeah, when I read things back, essays, I
can't find it.
I can't find this missing word, but my teacher will read it back and be like, this doesn't make sense. But even if it doesn't make sense, I'll read it as if it makes sense in my mind. So I got this software on my Mac that I used to, which helped me tremendously at uni, used to read out my essays for me.
Yeah.
So then when I would listen to it back, I would know that a word is missing and I would be able to add it in.
Literally, it took me about 3 or 4 times to find what's missing. So I think I might have mild dyslexia.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've got.
It takes me quite a while to... I will clock it if I keep reading it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I can't be bothered. And I post it and it's people like, it's not make sense. But I'm like,
But literally, yeah, it's very... What I have is a very mild case of it. It's like, because it's so mild that it's kind of low enough that no one will really notice it.
Yeah.
But if I had a little bit... If I had the help for it, I would benefit tremendously. From it. So if I had the help from it back in school, yeah. I would have got things like extra time in exams because I write really slowly and I read really slowly. So that stuff like that, that would have helped me in exams. I wouldn't have felt like I had to rush in exams. You know?
So you could have got better grades to get into a better university.
Yep.
And also, your life could be completely different now.
Mm-hmm. Or I could have had definitely better grades because I would have had the help and stuff like that. The understanding of this is why I'm learning this way and stuff like that.
It's so sad, bro, this world.
It's really terrible, and it's only if you have enough money to have this test done that I would have known before going to university.
So you have to pay for a dyslexia test?
You have to pay for a dyslexia test.
What? It should be free. It's a disability. Because I remember when I told my university I had a stutter, I had a £5,000 disability allowance.
Lucky. Dyslexia because it's kind of...
That's more popular though. That's more known and accepted. Yeah. Way more.
But I didn't get anything really. Crazy. Only thing I did get is I got my Mac. I got all the softwares to help me out. I got a free printer. I didn't pay for printing credit. Really? If I had to pay for anything printing credit wise, I took my receipt, sent it off to student finance, got that money straight. I got another thing that helped me, I got a recording device because I can never write notes properly. especially in a lecture.
I got that as well. I got a recording device as well.
But that helped me a lot.
For some reason, I have no idea why, but I got a recording device.
But it helps helped me in lectures because I could just record them and then listen to them back later. Mm-hmm. So it just meant for me, I record lectures and not listen.
That's the
and then when I get home later, I'll listen and I'll take notes and whatever.
Really?
But, yeah.
When I got home, I did not listen. Buff. I was opposite.
I was listening and then I would kind of make like, they had like markers you could do on the recorder. So I make markers when someone said a big point or something like that so I could skip through it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
But
I ain't said nang in a long time.
But yeah, that's what I mean. I think that they should have more awareness for mental health.
Oh, mental health. That's another thing I'm trying to go massive on, especially on Instagram. Trying to be the pioneer for mental health, man. Because black people suffering at the most, and we don't talk about it.
There's a few people I can introduce you to, or like you should come down to like poetry events and stuff like that, because a lot of poets deal with a lot of mental health issues and stuff like that. I've noticed.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of them are doing work within mental health. I've got a friend called Miss Yankee. She's a poet. She does this workshop called Poetry Prescribed, where every week they have a different topic that they're talking about and writing about, and anyone can go down there and you just kind of write a poem and make a piece of work, and it's networking and meeting all the different people and stuff like that.
Really?
So yeah, there's loads of different events. There's another guy called Fiske, Paul Fiske his name is, and he's a rapper, a poet, and he also does these nights once a month. This called Mind Over Matter. And
cool.
He helps, basically he brings on, basically there's like maybe some people who are headlining, and there will be like they're all people that have a mental health issue, but they use like music or poetry to kind of help them get through it.
Where are these people, man?
I'll send you the information, man.
What I'm saying is It should be bigger, man.
It's the poetry community, so it's just all...
It's hard to reach these people. There's so many amazing people doing great things. But it's hard to find them, unless I meet you or meet someone in that world.
But like it's good for especially different miniature groups to kind of interlock and kind of do work together, because then it kind of spreads out to...
That's the point. Networking is key in life, man.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, I recommend coming down to some poetry events.
You go down to any?
I'm always performing. The next one I'm going down to is...
You do poetry as well?
Yeah, I'm a poet,
That's a madness. That's so cool, bro.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I know about these people in this community, because I started my... I've been writing for ages, but I decided, I think it was after my dad passed away, that I was just going to be like... And I found out that finally I wasn't the father of this child... That I was gonna take my life back and flip in, just share my poetry with the world. So that's why I just
started. So you get on stage and
It's scary. I love performing on stage, but when I'm on stage performing, I feel like sometimes I feel nervous as hell. But the moment I get on stage, it's just me getting my words out. I love performing. I absolutely love it. It's no place I would ever want to not be. It's a lovely place to be, and especially with poetry, I've found that it's a place where people actually stop what they're doing and listen to every single word that you're saying, and it's kind of the power of words that sometimes you're saying next to nothing, or words that maybe don't mean anything, or metaphors and stuff like that, and it's just the way how it connects, not just in my mind, because I've written it, I know how it connects in my mind, I'm more interested in how my poetry connects with other people.
Wow.
And their perceptions of it, because my perception was written, you heard my perception. I'm more interested in what you take from my words.
So, is it like spoken word?
I guess spoken word in a sense, yeah.
What's the difference? Is there like a beat with your poetry?
I've been told that I have a musical cadence, so like there's a musical element to the way I tell things or tell poems, but there's, I guess, spoken word, poetry, it's all different. It's different, but it's within the same genre type thing. Mm. A lot of things out there, I guess, are spoken word, because...
What is spoken word? Is it just storytelling or something?
Yeah, I guess storytelling.
And poetry is actually poems.
Well, it's all the same. I guess it's all kind of the same. I don't know properly. I know a guy, I need to get him on my podcast. He's studying poetry, doing a master's in poetry at the moment. So I really want to get him on the show.
He's doing a master's in poetry?
Yeah.
Is that a black guy?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's something else, bro. Respect.
Masters in poetry.
Masters in poetry.
And like, I was asking him questions like, how can you study something like, do a master's in it, or like in something like poetry, when it's like, so anything's poetry. Anyone can write like a couple of lines and it could be a haiku or something. Mm. How's there some sort of formula or foundations to it? And he was just telling me, yeah, he felt the same way, but yeah, that's what he's studying. And I was like, oh, that's cool though. I don't know.
That's cool.
But I feel like poetry and spoken word are all within the same, because it's like, if it rhymes, then it's poetry. It's poetry. Then it doesn't have to rhyme for it to be poetry. So then that could be spoken word, but then it's still poetry. So
yeah,
it's like...
it blends into each other, basically.
Yeah, there's two like overlapping lines.
But I think us expressing ourselves in this way just helps us grow.
Yeah.
Tackles the social anxiety, which I think most people have to some degree, man.
Yeah.
Not being able to be themselves, always holding back because of judgment of other people.
And that's what I find a lot when I go to poetry events, is like, I'll sit there and I'll listen to someone else's poem, and it'll make me think about things that are going on in my life, and I'm just like, well, I wouldn't have thought about this if I hadn't heard you say or be talking about these issues and stuff like that.
Yeah. Talking is the best therapy. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, it is.
Talking, man. Talking. I love talking now. Before I couldn't talk, bro. Now I love it. Sick. You know what, yeah? I used to be like sitting somewhere out on the train and watch people's conversations and be like, wow, how come they're talking like that? I wish I could do that. I swear to you, you take it for granted that being able to communicate.
Yeah, and it's like, for example, madness. It was an article in the last week's episode, but I was talking about flipping, like, there was a guy who, he's 44 years old, and he's just been given a bionic penis for the first time. He was born without a penis, and it was written in the article that it said that it seems like everyone else is more... interested or more has more to say about this thing than I do, and I feel like it's not really all that. And I was sat there and I read the article and I was like, bro, you feel like it's not all that because for 44 years you haven't had a penis and you haven't orgasmed.
How does it work?
I think he was born with this rare condition where he had testicles, but he just wasn't born with anything else, and you don't really think about kind of the how much he might have had to deal with, but just that fact, it just meant that he had to go through so much because that must mean it was just flat there, so but then also on the flip side of that, because it was flat there, he had to get his excrement out somehow, so I think he had to get some sort of bag, but they had to
my god, what a life.
Yeah, I know, that's what I mean. And
I can't compare having a stomach, bro.
Yeah, he had to get a bag, and they had to like source a hole so he could piss in the bag. What? Pretty much.
So it's on him, yeah. The penis is on his body attached.
Well, basically the one that they built him, it was like
So how does he feel it?
Apparently it has a pump, and the pump gives him the sensation as any normal person would.
So he feels the erection?
Yeah.
And he can have sex?
Yeah.
That's mad. Technology is a madness. Yo,
But the best part of that article,
pick up the doctors.
The best part of the article that I read was the fact that it will give him a possibility to have an erection for 10 days.
10 days?
Yeah. But come to think about it, hey man, 10 days isn't like, if you haven't had a penis for 44 years, 10 days of an erection. Yeah, I'm going ham. And he's got a long-term girlfriend, so she's like the most patient woman in the world.
He had a long-term...
Yeah.
Before the...
Yeah.
How did they have it?
They didn't. Or he must have just serviced her.
Wow, she's a great woman, man.
I know, right?
I gotta see what she looks like first, though. Oh, yeah, I'll show you. Okay, so what she looks like first, bro.
The thing is, he wasn't like bad. He's not like he was unattractive, that guy, as well.
That's crazy.
Yesterday was bionic penis 10 days. There it is.
That is mad.
So.
Oh, man. He's a normal looking guy.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And the girl's normal looking too.
Yeah.
And she waited.
Yeah.
Wow, she's a good woman. Yeah. He must have a brilliant personality, bro.
That's what I'm thinking.
How do you do that the first day? You're like, I know we've had a good night, but you know, I don't have a penis. Yo, it was a. He told her a year in, bro.
He'll just put it off. Now you can't come to my now. I can't come over. Sorry. Do you want to stay? Do you want to stay for a nightcap? Nah. Sorry, I'm working. Oh shit!
Wow, that's amazing, man.
But yeah, it's just. But I guess, like he said, because he hasn't had it for all that time, he didn't know what he was missing.
Didn't know what he's missing. It's like people were born blind. They don't know what they're missing. They don't care. It's a lot worse when you had eyesight and you lose it at 20.
So another question, sorry. Are there people that are born like me, speaking fluently, and then develop stutters?
You only develop... Well, okay. This is a question. So, there are two types of stammering. Developmental stammering. I can't pronounce the word.
Developmental.
Developmental stammering, yeah. Developmental stammering and stammering which occurs when you have an accident. So brain damage. So you have a car accident and people start stammering. And that type of stammer, you can never fix.
Okay.
It's not about the mindset. You have brain damage, you can't speak properly again. But developmental stammering is when it's argued that it's genetic or it's traumatic or... It's genetic, but something in the environment triggered the gene to make you stammer. It's great. But that type of stammer, you're born with it. And it activates or stays dormant depending on how your life goes.
Like a superpower.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, where do you stand on like music and everything? Kanye West?
Yeah, man, I like all types, bro. I'm not really feeling... Kanye West as a person these days. I love his music, but as a person, man, this guy is he disappointed, man.
I have like something to say about that. Like, I feel like as people, we kind of get too caught up in the artist's life.
Mm.
And isn't it just about the music? Although
it's true, yeah. Right?
Although, like they say controversial things, and we should be explained, and we should be annoyed and upset about these things.
I love old Kanye, man. He's a legend. Yeah. He's for the people, man. Kanye. The album I didn't like was that Jesus. I didn't like that one.
No, I was dead.
I didn't like it, but he's got a new one out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's working on it.
Yeah, he's just come out, and he did one with Kid Cudi, Kids Eat Ghosts.
Yeah, I like his new stuff.
But the great thing about Kanye's stuff is that recently all the albums that have dropped under Good Music, he produced every single track for it. So Pusha T's album, he produced every single track of Pusha T's album. Nas's album, I think he produced all of the tracks on Nas's album as well.
He's one of the greatest. Producers. He was a producer before, he was a bloody rapper, bro. Yeah. Kanye West has been making beats.
Yeah.
He made a beat for SAS.
Oh,
you know SAS? The ones from the UK.
Oh, yeah.
You know that song, Cheerio?
Yeah.
Repping London town now, here we go. Run around the globe with GBO.
Yeah,
he produced that song, man.
Oh shit.
He was in the video as well. Kanye West has been in the game for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've done about an hour or so.
Has it been an hour?
Yeah, it's been about quick,
man.
That's his
hour 90 minutes, 20 minutes. I enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, man, let's call that the end of the show for this week. And thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thanks, man. And www.stopholdingback.com.
Yep, I will put it all in the information. Yeah, it'll be all on the information on the website if you guys check it out. Have you got anything, any events that you're speaking at or any workshops that you're doing that you want to plug?
Yeah, I would like to plug King Speakers, www.kings.com. Speakers.com, they're a public speaking club for people who stammer and have social anxiety and people who just don't have any problem. You can still come down there, join the club and speak your mind and practice public speaking for free.
Oh, that's cool. If it's free as well.
It's great, man.
Can't complain.
It's free as a guest. If you want to become a member and do like planned speeches, it's like £12 a month.
Hey, man. You're...
But you're benefiting, you're networking.
You're investing into the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So I guess that's the end of the show. So thank you very much for listening, guys at home. And if you enjoyed the show, thank you very much. And if you haven't, more for you for sat at home and listening for 1 hour and 21 minutes, you numpty. So, yeah, I mean, I'll say goodbye. Any last words?
Goodbye, people, and stop holding back.